Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, this guy, I can understand this. I mean, in Philadelphia, traffic is a nightmare, especially because 95 is out of commission right now. You know, we have that big tanker explosion. So Interstate 95, you got to go around it, and it's a whole big pain in the neck. So I completely understand. I've been late for work a few times, and I got to be on the air. So I can't really just stumble in a few minutes late. I got to, you know, when the show starts at 3, I got to be on the air at 3. Filling in for Dana, I got to be on the air at 12. Eastern time, of course. Well, this Florida man, I actually have sympathy for this guy. He was arrested over the weekend for allegedly driving well over 100 miles an hour because he was late for work. I get it. I understand. James Lloyd was arrested and booked on a reckless driving charge after he was clocked speeding down U.S. 27 in the Dundee-Winter Haven area, Florida. 22-year-old guy driving a 2015 Ford Mustang, allegedly weaving in through traffic. An unmarked deputy clocked him going well over the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. He was pulled over. He repeatedly said he was late for work and apologized to the deputy for speeding. He said he was late for work. He apologized, which is nice and far better than having to apologize to a family after killing a loved one because you're driving recklessly, deputies wrote on Facebook. The Mustang was towed. He was taken into custody because that is a very unsafe speed to drive at over 100 miles an hour. I don't know if they arrested him for that. He looks like the kind of upstanding citizen that might have been wanted on something else as well, possibly. Maybe, just maybe there might have been something else there in his background. This is another story I have from Florida. This one is in Clearwater, home of the Philadelphia Phillies and their spring training. I love going down to Clearwater for spring training. Well, the woman was found, she had a bag, and police searched her belongings during a bicycle stop. They found drugs, but they also found a raccoon. They also found a baby raccoon in her bag. According to the Clearwater Police Department, 43-year-old Lindsay Rodewald, so I guess this is Florida woman, unless she identifies as a Florida man. It's very possible. I don't know. Was stopped while riding her bicycle, which did not have lights on during night. When speaking with police, she gave them verbal consent to search her backpack. Officers found a broken glass pipe with crystal residue, little crystal meth, you know what I mean? A field test indicated the presence of methamphetamines. And then she told the police department she forgot the pipe was in her bag and that she used meth a few days prior. And then they did a little more digging. They found the baby raccoon in her backpack. Police said it was around a week old. The little critter was taken to the veterinary emergency group in Tampa, Florida. It will be cared for alongside other young raccoons before being released into the wild. Isn't that sweet? Little pet raccoon. So cute. So cute and cuddly until they get bigger and then they scratch your eyes out. And, of course, make a mess in the trash. You know, raccoons are nasty. I'm just telling you. If you ever see one during the daytime, be very careful. That usually means the guy's got rabies, all right? Or the gal. I don't know. I don't want to assume the gender of the raccoon here. And finally, a Florida man was charged after nearly 20 tinfoil-wrapped phones were found inside his Jeep. They executed a search warrant on his Jeep, and they found 17 cell phones, many of them wrapped in aluminum foil. What do you think that's about, huh? Was it possible he was part of an organized cell phone theft operation? Possibly, maybe. Or maybe he's just worried about the aliens being able to listen to his calls, huh? He was inside the Layer Cake restaurant when it was discovered a $1,200 iPhone was missing from a woman's purse. She was able to track her phone via her Apple Watch to a parking lot behind the restaurant. Cops came, found the guy. Yep. Phone's wrapped in aluminum foil. We'll be right back. This is The Dana Show.
You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KeltechWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
So do scientists who work at the Wuhan Institute of Virology typically fall off the roof and die? What do you think? Does that normally happen? Good afternoon. Welcome to the Dana Show. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. It's great to be with you on a busy news day. Spent the first hour on Hunter Biden. I'll return to Hunter Biden, of course, before the show is out today. But there's some other stories making news. And one of them that really catches my attention, you know, the government has been working to censor speech in this country in a big way. And the way they do it, of course, is they get the social media companies to think it's their idea, but it's not their idea. It's the government's idea. And they censor you. And whether it's you or it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., YouTube just took down a bunch of videos of an interview he did with Dr. Jordan Peterson because they said it was vaccine misinformation. So they take these videos down. If you were ever somebody who questioned the origins of COVID-19, you thought maybe it came from a laboratory, not an undercooked bat burger like me, for example. They would have censored you. They would have hid your post. They would have made it go away. They would have made it disappear. And as time goes on and we learn more about this and how the government worked with big tech and worked with the corporate media to figure out the message that they wanted, and then anybody who contradicts that message, their posts are, well, they disappear, quite frankly. And now we know that the earliest cases of COVID-19 really happened in the fall of 2019. We've always kind of known this because the military world games were held in China, in Wuhan, in the fall of 2019, and a bunch of people got sick. And so that's why people said, wait a minute. This is not a new virus in 2020. This is we've seen this before. And that's true. They did. And that's because the virus came out around that time in 2019. So then it was confirmed that, yes, the very first people who got sick were, in fact, the people that were working on the virus back in the fall of 2019. And so the question becomes, what about the scientists who were working on this? What happened to them? And then a question that's a very important question that was posed at National Review today. Do Wuhan Institute of Virology scientists often fall from the building's roof? Is this a normal occurrence for them? This one guy who was was working on the vaccine for COVID back in November of 2019. He's working on the vaccine for COVID-19 in November of 2019. Now, what about that stands out in your opinion? Right away, what stands out for me is the fact that COVID had not yet become a global pandemic. It was about to, but it had not yet. They're working on this in the laboratory, which should tell you everything you need to know. They're what they were doing. They were working on this virus in the laboratory. Next thing you know, global pandemic. Obviously, it came from the laboratory. It's not a coincidence. Like, well, the same time they were working on this in the laboratory, somebody also bit into an undercooked bat and then set off a pandemic. And it's just, oh, what a coincidence. No, of course not. It always came from the lab. We know this. But this scientist who was working on this, one of the doctors there who worked for the People's Liberation Army and was collaborating with Wuhan scientists at the time of the outbreak, died in mysterious circumstances in May of 2020 at 54 years old. U.S. investigators are said to have been told that he fell from the roof of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, though this has not been confirmed. And it never will be confirmed. Just like you'll never be able to confirm that COVID-19 actually came from a lab. But you know, and I know, we all know it did. Maybe the guy was just checking out the view. You know, maybe he liked to go feed the pigeons on the roof of the WIV. And, you know, you're feeding the pigeons, you get a little too close to the edge, and then, boom, you know, you fall over and you're dead. And that's certainly possible. Maybe he was up there and it was a very breezy day. I don't know how much the man weighed. Maybe perhaps he was very fit and trim, maybe a little underweight. Big breeze came, knocked him off the roof. Boom, cracks his head open, and he's dead, allegedly. Possible. That could have happened too. Of course, he also could have been thrown off the roof and murdered to keep him quiet because dead men don't talk, especially after they've been thrown off a roof. That's also a possibility as well. I don't think you could rule that one out. You may want to keep that one open as a possibility. November 2019 also appears to be the time frame that the People's Liberation Army researchers began development of at least two SARS-CoV-2 vaccines. People's Liberation Army Professor Zhao Yusen, director of the 5th Institute at the Academy of Military Medical Sciences, worked with the WIV and possibly at the WIV for several years prior to the pandemic. Zhu and these Military medical science researchers may have been working at the Wuhan Institute of Virology no later than the fall of 2019, conducting research for a paper that he co-authored with two researchers, Shi Xing Li and Chen Jing. What the paper concluded was the known adverse effects of SARS-related vaccines and antibody treatments. This guy was engaged in SARS-related coronavirus and animal vaccine research at the WIV in the summer or early fall of 2019. And the patent that he submitted for a COVID-19 vaccine was on February 24th, 2020. I mean, we were just getting started back then with the vaccine, with the pandemic. February of 2020, we're just getting started. I remember, too, because the Chinese ambassador from China to the United States was on with Margaret Brennan on CBS News, and he was saying, it's very racist to suggest this came from a lab. We don't know. It probably came from the wet market. And yet, in February of 2020, the scientists there had already had a patent on the vaccine for COVID. Well, how could they have done that if the virus was yet to be or had just been released because somebody noshed down on some bat crackers at the wet market? You know what I mean? Somebody rips the head off a bat, drinks its blood. Next thing you know, it's a global pandemic. And then, what, a couple weeks later, they just happen to come up with a vaccine just like that, but yet they don't tell the world? The patent includes mouse-derived serological data from vaccine-related experiments, which experts consulted with during the investigation could not have been completed unless Zhao's team began work on vaccine development before the known outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic in late December of 2019. They would have had to be working on this for a long time prior to this. In other words, they were working on this in the laboratory, and then it got out of the laboratory.
What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'll tell you now, a bear was clinging by his claws from a second-story window. I watched this video, too. It's hysterical, too. This guy was just hanging out in Colorado, hanging by the by his claws from a second-story window. He went into the house. He climbed into a window to get some snacks, and then he climbed out through another window on the ground level. Now, the guy was at work when all this happened, so he didn't have to worry about confronting a bear in his place. This bear made out okay. See, unfortunately, it didn't work out so well for a moose. So a moose also climbed to a man's house and this time jumped off a second-story deck in Colorado, and the moose died. It didn't make it. Much like the scientist from Wuhan who mysteriously fell off the roof, didn't make it. The moose did not make it either. So now there's going to be some moose meat. They removed the moose from the resort. They donated its body to science. And I assume some good moose burgers will be coming your way. Remember, a moose, while it looks like they're very, very docile, they can kick some butt. So just if you see a moose, you know, try to stay out of the way. More animals for you. This time, little duckies, you know. In this case, in Long Island now, they actually used YouTube to try to reunite the mama duck with her little duck babies. They used the YouTube app, a group of Long Island kids and police officers, to use YouTube to reunite ducklings with mama duck in Massapequa, Long Island. These officers received a 911 call about an agitated mother duck dangerously walking into traffic on Old Sunrise Highway. Her four baby ducklings had fallen into the sewer. Upon arrival, officers could hear the ducklings in distress below ground. They were about 8 feet down. They couldn't see them. They weren't able to remove the sewer grate to retrieve the ducklings. So they used emergency services, essentially now, to use the YouTube app to get the babies to hear their mama and follow the voice out of the sewer. As some very quick thinking by these cops, and everybody's happy. Except for the local Chinese restaurant, which now is going to have to buy duck as opposed to just using... Anyway, and then I wanted to let you know as well, and this is another animal story here. Why are these animal stories today? Cancer warnings on beer, wine in Ireland spark industry alarm in Ireland, because everybody loves a good beer, a good glass of wine, and booze. I mean, I don't want to be stereotypical. My wife's Irish, but I love a good Irish pub. Well, now the warnings on health, sparking alarm. People are getting very, very nervous about this. And lastly, Tropical Storm Brett has formed over the Central Atlantic. It's forecasted to become a hurricane. Pay attention to this. We're coming right back. So then Joe Rogan, who's a podcaster, of course you know who Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan was going to have a debate between vaccine researcher Peter Hotez and Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wanted to have a debate about vaccines. And it's lit up the internet over the last couple of days. Rogan made the offer because Hotez attacked Rogan for having Kennedy on his podcast and accused him of spreading misinformation. So Joe Rogan was giving him a chance to explain what he thought the misinformation was. He actually offered him $100,000 to his favorite charity if he did debate Kennedy without any time limit to make his points. He was going to allow his entire show to be turned over to them, to have a debate about vaccines, have a legitimate debate on vaccines and have it out. Well, Hotez has said, no, he's not doing it. He won't do it. No interest. He's not doing it. And so people have turned around and said, wait a second. You're supposed to be a scientist. Why are you so afraid of having a debate? You believe so strongly in these things. What are you running from? Why won't you have a debate? Why won't you have the argument with him? You say the guy's a kook. Well, then prove it. You say the guy's a kook, then sit down with him, have a conversation. Let's hear why. And he's not going to do it. In fact, he's even talking about now of leaving Twitter to get away, because he says right now at this point, I don't want to have anything to do with misinformation. But I think the American people are very skeptical about the concept of misinformation because we were lied to so much about COVID. We were told lockdowns would be effective and they would stop people from getting the virus. We were told the vaccines would stop transmission. We were told masks for our kids would be just fine and dandy, and the kids would love them. The kids would love masks. Now we see the learning loss. We see how we have a major mental health crisis in this country with our young people because of the isolation they felt because of COVID. We have heard so many of the government's lies, and then a guy like RFK Jr. comes around and says, let's have a debate. And I think that there's never been a time like right now for people to say, what I once thought was misinformation, I'm at least now open to the idea of believing that possibly, just possibly now, this might be real. And I'm not saying it is. I'm saying people want to hear. They want to hear the information. The other reason why is because when YouTube takes down Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talking to Joe Rogan, when they take this stuff down and say it's misinformation, and we saw how they did that during COVID, people turn around and go, why are you censoring people? What are you afraid of? Let the marketplace of ideas have it out. If the ideas are crazy, then that will come to light. But when you censor ideas, when you take things down, all you do is make me want to go watch it and listen to it and find out what do they not want me to know? What are they hiding from me? What is it that if people heard this would be a threat to them, to their control, their establishment control? There's even a point now about monkeypox, too. Monkeypox advisor Dimitri Daskalakis talking about monkeypox and HIV. When you think monkeypox, think HIV. And I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of thing you think about. You hear this guy say this and you go, well, but can't we just have an honest conversation about who's likely to get monkeypox? And if you want to protect people from that, you just be transparent and you be truthful about that. And you just say what actually is risky behavior and you tell people to stay away from something for their own good, unless that's now become politically correct. You know, monkeypox, your chances of getting it go up exponentially if you have sex with another man. If you're a man who has sex with men, it goes up tremendously. But we're not allowed to say that for some reason in this country. And in fact, you've got the monkeypox advisor actually saying that what the Biden administration is trying to do is not say any of the behavior is actually risky. Let's start with cut number 11.
I work in HIV normally, and I'll tell you that, you know, I always say that I've never made an HIV diagnosis in someone that hasn't somehow related to stigma. I think Mpox is the same. So really, stigma tends to be a barrier to testing, a barrier to vaccination. And so, you know, really addressing stigma intentionally and making sure that we get the word out in a way that supports people's joy as opposed to, you know, calling them risky. So I think, you know, one of the things to think about is that, you know, one person's idea of risk is another person's idea of a great festival or Friday night.
So we don't say risky, all right? We don't like to do that. We want to hear your joy, even if your joy leads you to getting Mpox. Well, they don't call it monkeypox anymore. I forgot. That's politically incorrect. They say Mpox, which is stupid. It sounds like a bad Hanson song, if you ask me. Here's Hanson. You know, they have that Mbop song. I hear Mpox. I think Mbop is what I hear in my head. And now you're going to have that in your head all day. I apologize. My bad. Cut 12.
Think Mpox. Think HIV. When you think sexual health, think both. When you think pride, think joy and happiness, but also say, like, I need to kick my tires and check my oil to make sure that I have my sexual health care, like, lined up.
I don't even understand any of that. But I do know, though, that people are so sick of being told what is real and what isn't real that you've paved the way now for a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to come around. And they're terrified of him. There was a headline that was in the Los Angeles Times. It said, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a threat to your health and our democracy, it says. Our democracy. They don't like anybody that goes outside the lines here. That is a challenge to anyone to people making money, let's be honest. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake in the pharmaceutical industry. We don't really have oversight of big pharma in this country. We have an FDA and a CDC that exists as a revolving door. People go to work there, and the pay is marginal, you know, but they know they can cash out one day and make buku bucks with the pharmaceutical companies. Oh, yeah, it's all there. You just have to look at it. But people make money, big-time money, so that he's a threat to that.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.